This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. Why are central bankers and federal regulators so concerned about stablecoins, the cryptocurrencies that track the value of government money? Cato's Norbert Michel is author of a new paper on stablecoins, specifically the Treasury Department's misguided effort to stymie the new financial innovation under the guise of systemic risk. We spoke this week.
It is understandable that a central bank and executive branch regulators would be at least a little bit concerned about the advent of cryptocurrency. It's hard to track. It's hard to measure the movements in there. So if you're a central banker, there could be all sorts of economic activity that's going on that you're not effectively able to track. But stable coins, these are coins pegged to a currency, in the case we're talking about, dollars. Why are central banks and federal regulators so concerned about the advent of stable coins?
Not that I think they will admit this in a very explicit way, but I believe they are concerned out of this almost nebulous fear that the dollar will lose its status. If you think about sort of how all this really got started with stablecoins, it was when Facebook announced their Libra project. Because prior to Facebook announcing their Libra project, this stuff was all just sort of in the background. But as soon as Facebook announced they were going to do something with a stablecoin, the federal government took notice and said, oh my gosh, you have all these people using Facebook. They have an instant network of millions and millions of people. What if they stop using the dollar? And I don't think that that's a rational fear. I mean, in some theoretical sense, I suppose, yes. But I still don't think that it's a rational fear. I do, however, honestly believe that is what is driving this new sort of push by the central bank and the federal government more broadly to regulate stablecoins and to, I think, sort of squash them, honestly.
So if we understand like the debates of 100 years ago over markets versus central planning, the stab in the gut that the Austrians had was essentially, well, you need markets in order to have this information be generated about prices and relative prices and all that stuff. But without a central bank, what do stable coins do? Like, what are they? What are they stabilizing themselves against?
Yeah, honestly, without the central bank, nothing. You know, it would just be another form of money. And I think that's the ultimate problem that they're thinking about. And I view it the same way as the move off of the gold standard. So, you know, many, many, many years ago, gold is money. And through time, you're still on the gold standard, but people are using paper currency that represents a claim to the gold, and gold's never changing hands. Not really. You know, everybody's just using the paper. And as you go through more and more time, it becomes even more and more so that people just view the paper currency itself as money. And I could envision the same sort of thing with the stable coin. So the stable coin starts off and it's tied or linked or pegged to the dollar or some other national fiat currency. And then over time, you sort of have, you could envision the same phenomenon where nobody really cares that it was backed, in quotes, by anything or not backed by anything. People just use whatever that stable coin is, whether it's something called Libra or Diem or goodness Tether or goodness knows what. So it's that fear, I believe, that is driving this. But I mean, we have to recognize that we're nowhere near that point right now.
Well, that hasn't stopped the feds, of course.
That's right. No.
So what is it specifically that they would like to do with respect to, I guess, crypto broadly, but more specifically stablecoins, that would hamstring the coin or make it too obtrusive to use and too difficult to use to replace the dollar? What are they hoping to accomplish?
Well, I think those are multiple questions. I think what they're hoping to accomplish is to keep it minimized and keep it sort of in the background and not let it become as pervasive as they fear it might. I don't know in the long run that they can actually do that. I mean, they could shut it down if they actively do that at the beginning, but I don't know that they're really moving to completely shut it down right now. I think it's more along the lines of clamoring as if they will. And it could quickly move to that, though. I mean, we're gonna find out very soon. The administration has announced some new regulatory proposals, and they've announced, in some sense, some of these things are not overtly terrible. I mean, there is a problem with Tether, where they were claiming to have certain short-term assets behind their coin. And it's pretty clear they didn't really have what they said they had. And so in my view, there is a role for that regulation. That is a disclosure and fraudulent, you know, issue. So that is what the law is supposed to protect people against.
Right. And you would expect, but that's a normal run of the mill. I promised this and I did not follow through. That's the kind of thing you can easily adjudicate. It's not a separate regulatory regime that's been created.
But the feds,
the Biden administration, Janet Yellen, members of Congress, they want to do new stuff to crypto and specifically stable coins.
That's right. And they're going to use some of the Dodd-Frank stuff, the systemic risk regulation authority that they have, possibly through FSOC, to come up with even more stringent regulations. We don't know exactly what they're going to propose yet. But the idea along those lines, of course, is to have something that is more regulated, more heavily regulated, which would put the stable coins at a disadvantage to other forms of mediums of exchange. So it would become much harder to use it, so much so that people would stop using it. And I think most of the justifications that they've been floating so far really don't hold water.
And one of the benefits of stablecoins over the other players in crypto is that the explicit benefit of the coin is an explicit benefit that you hope to get from a US dollar, which is stability.
That's right. Stability. And you would see something in a stablecoin that doesn't change value very much, whereas with Bitcoin or Litecoin or some of the other guys, Ethereum, you see a pretty volatile value on really even on a day-to-day basis, and that makes it very hard to transact your normal types of transactions with that coin. So the stablecoin is designed specifically to address that, and if it works in theory, people would stop using dollars and start using the stable coins, which again, I think is really the heart of the scary issue for the regulators, the people who want to hold on to the dollar, so to speak.
So if the Fed were genuinely interested in just having a monetary system that functions really well for everybody, and federal regulators were genuinely interested in setting rules that would maximize the number of transactions could accommodate a very high number of transactions, to use Richard Epstein's rule, what would that look like? Would it be, hey, guess what? This can be used for debts, public and private also. Is that what it looks like, or is it something different?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's a pronouncement that you can use this stuff. These are the rules. These are the regulations. We're doing what we can to protect the integrity and protect against fraud. And we're not going to have one medium that's more disadvantaged or more advantaged than the other in terms of the law. And if people like these things and they can use these things, and then that also, in a sense, forces the federal government to compete against that stablecoin and those other alternatives. So you know, provided that the federal government doesn't do anything too crazy to destroy the value of the US dollar, then people will keep using US dollars. But that's the whole point, right? It's a check. It's a competitive threat. And that's really the best way to get the best outcome.
And the heavy-handed regulating, these are all distributed networks. These are systems that operate on individual computers around the world. If they chose a heavy-handed regulatory approach, either the Federal Reserve or some other agency with regulatory power to clamp down on stable coins, all that could do is probably just push it offshore or push it out of the U.S. and being used elsewhere.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You'll have it will keep popping up in different places, not here in the U.S. The payment system will continue to lag behind in the U.S., and lag behind in the sense that people who are using these more efficient payment methods, you know, aren't going to be doing it here, and or doing it here illegally, even though they're not hurting anybody necessarily, and that's not a positive outcome for U.S. citizens.
My suspicion, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but wouldn't that outcome also sort of remove the U.S. or at least loosen the U.S. grip on having the world's reserve currency?
Yes, it would. Literally, you know, it's sort of like a whack-a-mole game. And unfortunately, instead of the federal policymakers recognizing that, you know, this is a major change and that there's a problem that is causing people to want to use these other alternatives, what can we do? What can we look at internally to fix so that people will want to continue using the dollar, not these other alternatives? They're looking at it the other way. How can we stop these alternatives? And, you know, that's not a long-term winning strategy, especially given the way the technology works and how it originates and how decentralized it is.
Norbert Michel is author of the new Cato paper, Treasury's Misguided Focus on the Systemic Risk of Stablecoins. It's available now. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.